And we are live. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Matt Powell with Way of Truth. I'm joined by Marvo from Believe Faith. I'm also joined by my dad, Steve Powell, and brother Benjamin Knight, or in other words, known as Ben the Baptist. Great men of God have joined us this evening to talk about a topic that's been very controversial, that has gotten, I mean, obviously, we've gotten a lot of flack over this topic. People have been saying that calling upon the name of the Lord is a work. And that, believing is what you should do, but then if you call on the Lord, all of a sudden that's a works-based salvation, and all of a sudden you're a heretic if you believe that. And the movement that believes this is more of a Calvinistic movement. And so we're here to just discuss some of the things that have been going on and discuss the true biblical position, which is obviously grace through faith. But we also want to debunk this false teaching where people say, well, just believe, but don't call out to the Lord. Obviously, anybody that's read the Bible and read Romans knows that that is a tremendous false doctrine. And that's absolutely insane. Jesus said, "Whoso cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out." Jesus didn't say, "Whoso cometh to me and doesn't say a word, I will not." I mean, think about that. Going to the Lord and not saying a word to him, that would just be absolutely insane. And so you have to do a mental gymnastic to say that calling upon the Lord is a work. And that's one of the things we want to talk about today. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and start with Brother Ben in this roundtable discussion. Brother Ben, if you don't mind just introducing yourself a little bit and just explaining why it's important to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved.
Yeah, this is Ben the Baptist, and I'm a member of Steadfast Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And it's important to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved simply because that's what the Bible says that you must do in order to be saved. I mean, you have to ask Jesus for salvation, and it's all over the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 4, it's in Psalm chapter 55. I believe it's in Psalm chapter 116 as well. Obviously, Romans chapter 10. You see this concept from Genesis to Revelation, people calling, asking God to be saved. It's a biblical concept, and I just can't imagine why anybody, other than the fact that they're not saved, would get confused on something so essential.
Amen. And I agree with you on that 100%. The Bible says, "He that is born of God heareth God's words." If somebody's not hearing the voice of God, if they've been confronted on this and they're not willing to make a change, the Bible, under the authority of the scriptures, either one, they could be reprobate, or two, obviously, they could be very, very confused, or even three, they're probably not saved. I would say one or three would probably be the possibilities. All right, Dad, if you don't mind just introducing yourself and telling us why it's important to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved and what part it has in salvation.
Okay, my name is Steve Powell. I'm an evangelist from Grand Rapids, Michigan area. I talk to people all the time, and I always include basically a Romans Road presentation. And if you have to, I taught for several years in public school up towards Flint, Michigan, and kids are taught in public school that sin is a lack of self-esteem. So if you have self-esteem, you're not a sinner. So of course, then you have to take them back to Genesis 1:1, then to John 1:1 through 14, to show them who God is, who Jesus is, so that they can make a good calling, a good profession, call on the name of the Lord to be saved. I've seen a lot of crazy things, but this is really crazy. It reminds me of something that I seen years ago. I met a preacher that told me that he was had his dog in a dog fight, and his dog was killing another dog that actually belonged to the man that he pulled his dog off this man's dog because his dog was going to kill this dog. And the guy said to him, "What are you, some kind of Jesus freak?" And he told me that's how he knew he was saved. Never prayed a prayer, just crazy kind of stuff. But Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then a couple of verses later, 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, he wants you to agree with him. It's just like the thief on the cross. You know, he didn't pray some elaborate prayer. God had gotten a hold of his heart. The other man, he rejected Christ. The other thief, he says, what doth not their fear God? We deserve what we're getting, but this is God. He said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I mean, that wasn't a big elaborate prayer, but he had called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord saved him. You know, if you're not willing to call on the name of the Lord, I think you need to get saved.
Amen. Amen. So, Marvo, if you want to go ahead and just introduce yourself to everybody and explain a little bit of the issue that's been going on and just explain why it's important to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation.
Okay, first of all, I want to say thank you, Matt, for doing this and having me on. I truly appreciate you. And my name is Marvo, and my new channel is called Prince of Peace. I'm here tonight, you know, to defend the word of God and say, you know something, you know, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you is not a work. It doesn't require effort. You know, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy upon you and to save you, you know, it doesn't mean that you're working for your salvation. You know, just because a person says, Lord Jesus, have mercy, forgive me, and, you know, save me, you know, it doesn't mean that we are doing something in our power to earn eternal life. So, you know, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is showing that we believe in who he is. And the Bible does talk about that. They have verses in the Bible that talk about, you know, if you believe, if you confess the Son of God, God dwelleth in you. And, you know, so, you know, this is just, we're living in the last days, and there are so many false antichrist doctrines that are trying to deny confessing the Son of God. So tonight we're going to come together and show you from the Bible that it is biblical to confess and ask the Lord to save you.
Amen. And you just think about the fact, I cannot imagine, you know, just think about standing before the throne of God and, you know, being ready to go into heaven, and all of a sudden God looking at you and saying, you know what, the reason I'm not going to let you in is because you called out to be by faith and asked me to save you. Can you imagine how ridiculous that would be? If Jesus said, oh, you know, you're not saved because you called on my name, that's ridiculous. That would make God a liar. And that is the most pathetic doctrine I've probably ever heard in my life. And, you know, there's people that I've talked to who I thought were solid on the gospel. I thought, you know what, they're solid on grace through faith and all this stuff. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, no, this is a work. Well, the Bible says clearly that calling upon the Lord is not a work. And it's something that we do as a result of our faith. And it's a part of the result of turning towards Christ. And just the fact that people get confused on this tells me that a lot of times they're either one, they're not saved, or two, they're very, very confused on the issue. And so, Brother Ben, what would you tell somebody that would come to you and say, hey, it's a work to call out to the Lord? What would you say to somebody? What would be your answer to them?
Well, two things. First of all, I would take them to John chapter 4, where Jesus says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So that's point number one, okay? Point number two is I would say, all right, and I'm about to steal an analogy from my friend and the preacher at Steadfast Baptist Church, Brother Adam Fannin, the evangelist, Adam Fannin. He often says this, and I think it makes a lot of sense. If there were Christmas presents under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, and the kids run up the stairs to their parents' bedroom, and they knock on the door, and the parents open up the bedroom door, and the kids are like, can we open the gifts? Can we open the gifts, please, Mommy and Daddy? Can we open the gifts? And, you know, the parents are like, okay, fine, go for it. And they go back downstairs, and they rip open the gifts. Does that mean that those kids worked for the gift? No, it doesn't. They simply asked for them. And so it's the same thing with salvation. You don't work for it by asking for it. That's ridiculous. That'd be like if I had a, you know, hey, Brother Matt, here's this Bible. It's all yours. You know, it's a gift. I paid for it. Just ask for it and I'll give it to you. And then if you ask me for it and I give it to you, that in no way means that you worked for this Bible. It was still a gift. And so this concept is insane. I can't believe there's people out there that are casting doubt on this and trying to confuse people. But that's basically the 2 points I would make. Show them some scripture and then use some illustrations.
Amen. And my viewers probably aren't used to this kind of passion. I just want to state to everybody that's joining this chat, I agree with Brother Ben's passion. You know, I understand. I'm kind of a more soft-spoken fella. I don't necessarily get worked up a lot. But you know what? This should work us up. We should be very offended by these kind of issues. And we should be able to take a stand. And we should be able to yell in the... You know, the Bible says, cry aloud. You know, it doesn't say just, just kind of speak softly to people. You know, that's a characteristic of a false prophet to begin with, is somebody who just speaks softly all the time. So don't get offended. Folks, listen to the Word of God. This, you know, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. So it's a powerful thing. And, obviously the Bible says that Jesus is a rock of offense. So it's going to offend people. And I'm sure there's people who are going to watch this who are offended. But you know what? If you're offended, you might as well drop out right now if you're one of these heretics that doesn't believe right on this, because it's only going to get worse. And the Bible is only going to just spread even more and more. Dad, if you want to go ahead and give us your objection to an objection to calling on calling on the Lord for salvation.
I've never heard in the past too awful much where people have had a problem with calling on him. We went to the nursing home the other day. You went with us. We had a group. We had 8 people that went. And I always noticed that when someone's willing to call, they have no problem calling on the name of the Lord or asking him for salvation. The ones that don't want to call on his name, there's a problem there. It's almost like, they feel like God owes them something. If you know what I'm saying, it's crazy to me. I don't know how we've gotten to this point, only to say that the group of people that have brought this teaching, this is a Reformed teaching, the same group that tells us that some are predestined to go to hell, no matter what you do, and some are predestined to go to heaven. So whether you pray or entrust him or not, if you weren't predestined to go with him, you were predestined to die and go to hell. So, I don't think it should really make us think that these people have it together, because they really don't.
Amen. Amen. And I'm 100% with you. I don't really have any other comment to add to that. Go ahead, Marvo. What's your objection to somebody who would object to calling on the name of the Lord? And obviously, folks, I want to state real quick that Marvo and I have been through this together pretty much. And this is kind of how this whole thing got started. As I went onto Marvo's panel, he invited me on, and some guy yelled at me and called me a heretic and called me a devil and said that, I'm no different than Steve Anderson, which to me, that's a compliment. I really like Pastor Steven Anderson. I think he's a great man of God. And so, I took it as a huge compliment. Thank you so much. So, but when it comes to this issue, there's a lot of people that are saying that it's heresy to call on the Lord, and we need to just nail this down. And I like what Brother Ben said at the beginning of this. You know, Jesus said, if you would have known what the gift was, you would have asked for it. You know, and just think of the fact that people are on their way to hell these days. And if you explain the gospel clearly to somebody and they realize they deserve hell, it's only natural to call out to the Lord. If I was drowning in a pool, it's only natural to call out to the lifeguard. I'm not going to say, oh, I believe the lifeguard's going to save me, therefore I'm saved. That's ridiculous. And that's awful. And anybody that believes that needs to re-examine their position. Marvo, go ahead and tell us what you got.
Yeah, so, what your father said, your dad, it is just so powerful what this man just said. And what this man just said just ends the whole entire conversation, period. You know why? Because look at the thief on the cross, right? That final moment, that thief on the cross repented, right? Like he realized that, you know what? He's a thief. And that final moment, right? You know, Jesus Christ being God already knows everything. He knows our hearts, right? So it's like, that final moment right there, the man opened his mouth and said,
yes.
He said, remember me, Lord. And right there, because he called, he opened his mouth. And the reason why he opened his mouth is because he believed in his heart. He called upon the Lord because he believed. He did not work for his salvation. Right? And because he called upon the Lord, 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 you know, remember me. That final moment, he was justified right there.
Amen to that. Hey, Matthew, you know something else, too. You take that man in the temple. Remember, what was it, the Pharisee that said, I'm not like him. I tithe many times in the week. I do this, I do that type of thing. What about the man that beat on his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? He's in big trouble for calling on the Lord.
Oh, yeah, that's works. Oh, that's works salvation.
Call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But what did Jesus say? That man went down to his house justified, just as if he never sinned. So, you know, was Jesus a liar there? I think not. But, you know, they don't like to talk about it in that way there.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. And just on a common sense level, Jesus said, unless you come to me as a little child, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom. And so when you come with a baggage of theology, I'm not saying that it's bad to believe in that. You need to believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus. You need to understand that he's God. You need to understand that he paid for your sins, past, present, future. And the Bible says that you need to understand that it's eternal life. The Bible says this is the record that God hath given us, eternal life. And this life is in his son. Those are the things that need to be understood. Those are easy things. Those are simple things. And we shouldn't be beguiled, like the serpent did Eve, of the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, this lordshipper that I was having that stinking debate with the other day, he's like, oh, where does the Bible say it's easy or simple? I'm thinking, hello, the Bible says, beware, lest you be beguiled.
In his burden light.
But they would say that's a mistranslation. They would say it's a mistranslation, and that's why they agree with all the other cults in the world. They don't believe in the King James Bible. You know, and to anybody on here that, you know, in the chat that gets offended by the King James Bible, I'm sorry. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's going to offend you. You know, it's just the way it is. So, okay, let's move on to a similar topic, but one that's come up still, because a lot of people will say, okay, there's one group that says believing and receiving is enough, but no confession, although confession and believing are two parts of the same coin, according to Scripture. They'll say confession is a work, but they'll also say believing is a work. What is your response, Brother Ben?
Well, first of all, I just want to say real quick to that moron, lordship, salvation guy, Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Bible says there that salvation is as easy as picking up a glass of water and drinking it. So put that in your work salvation pipe and smoke it. Now, as far as, you know, what was your question? I'm sorry.
Amen. You got me all excited, Brother Ben. See, I get all riled up when you get on here, man. It's good for me. So I got to say, what was it? Oh, yeah. So there's a group that says that believing is a work. What's your response?
Okay. Here's my response to that. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and with that mentality in mind. And read the following verse, okay? Here we go. Romans chapter 4, verse number 4. Now, or I should say in verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but worketh on him that justifieth the ungodly, his work is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That doesn't seem to make too much sense. How about Ephesians? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And read this verse with that in mind as well. If work, or I should say believing is a work, then we should be able to use believe and work interchangeably, right? Just like we can use believe and trust interchangeably. For by work are ye saved through work, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That makes no sense. There's a clear distinction between faith and works in the Bible, and the distinction is that you can't get saved by your works, which is why you must repent of trusting in your works and instead place all of your faith and your trust and rely and depend only on what Jesus did to get to heaven. Again, if believe means work, then we should be able to use those two words interchangeably in the context of a salvation passage, and then those passages should make sense, but they don't. If you were to replace the word believe or faith with trust, those passages would still make sense because believe means trust. That's all I have to say.
Amen. And believe and trust are used interchangeably, obviously. In Ephesians 1:13, the Bible says, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. So believed and trusted are used interchangeably through there. So it is crystal clear, and the only way to deny it is if you're biased. You have to be biased, and it makes me so sick, Brother Ben, the dad, it makes me so sick that these guys have such a bias, and they carry these baggages from their seminaries. And look, I'm not saying seminary is a horrible thing. I got a lot of friends that go to seminary. I don't believe in it, but you know what? God bless them. But they come back sometimes, and they got baggage of this work salvation crap. And it just makes me sick. And they think, oh, I believe it's by faith alone. I believe in Jesus. But there's nothing worse than thinking that you're free in Christ, thinking that you're saved, but actually not being saved. There's nothing worse than that. And that's what Calvinism and this movement is sparking. I guarantee you that if I told somebody, believe on Jesus, but do not call out, that person is not saved, period.
Well, I just want to cut in real quick. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to say this real quickly. If I go, when I go soul winning, okay, and I knock on the door and I preach the whole gospel to somebody, and then at the end of my presentation, the guy or girl does not want to call on the name of the Lord, they refuse to pray with me, then a few things, you know, could be the case there. Either A, they didn't believe something I said, which tends to be the case most of the time, or B, the person is just embarrassed and then they're going to go pray inside alone. But I'm telling you right now, if somebody is adamant about not wanting to pray with me, 9 times out of 10, it's because they didn't believe something I said. And if you chip away further at that and you ask them questions, they will eventually reveal what it is they had a problem with regard to my gospel presentation. So that's the deal here. It's a false dichotomy that these people are creating. If they refuse to call on the name of the Lord, it's because they didn't believe in the first place.
Amen. So believing, calling upon the Lord is truly a result of our faith. And I hate using that wording because people say, oh, well, works are a result of faith. But let's take it back. Let's take back proper terminology and say, hey, you know what? Calling on the Lord is a result of true faith in Christ. I believe that. Dad, what would you say to somebody that says that believing is a work? And by the way, this same movement, just so you guys are aware, this same movement that's done this has said that we believe in work salvation because we tell people that if you believe on Jesus, that's a work. Because God foreordained everything and God already chose who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell, which is absolutely ridiculous. I think it's like the 5 points of Calvinism or something. And I heard this recently. Yeah. Dad, what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I've met people go through the gospel with them and they'll tell me, yeah, I believe that. Well, would you like to pray and accept Christ? No, I believe it though. You know, so it goes back to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever, Romans 10:13, shall call. He did within three verses, he says it twice. You know, you're calling on, you're believing on, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with thy mouth. I mean, what is God lying to the people here? It's crazy to me. It boggles my mind that they can come up with this. But this is the group too that you'll never have them knock on your door and tell you how to be saved, because they don't, because they're predestined. They're predestined to go to heaven, where the next guy is predestined to go to hell. How do they know these things? How can they look at someone and say, well, you're obviously predestined to go to hell? You know, if you tell somebody that, what if they believe you? They're going to go out there and be the worst kind of people out there ever could be. This just troubles me that people would even think something like that. But, you know, Calvin is teaching, Reformed teaching. You know, what more can you say? And they're gonna get on you for knocking on somebody's door and telling them how to stay out of hell. They would never do that. See an ant swallow an elephant. They wouldn't do it.
I'm waiting to meet the Calvinist that would admit that they're not predestined to go to heaven. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Nope.
Hey, Matt, I want to bring up a verse. I want to bring up Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. It says, he saith, Matthew 16, verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So we see right there that Simon Peter confessed with his mouth that you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. We're not confessing to believe. We confess because we believe who Jesus is. A Muslim would never confess that Christ is Lord. They would never confess that Christ died on the cross, that he rose from the dead. They would not confess his death, burial, and resurrection because they're not born again. They're not saved. They don't believe in him. Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I have a Bible. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Guess what? They're not going to confess that Jesus Christ is God because they don't believe he's God. What you're confessing is showing what you believe in your heart.
Right.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Very clear. I mean, it wouldn't say out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh, except for when it comes to salvation. How stupid is that? And that passage just happens to be a salvation passage. Brother Ben.
Well, just to add on to that as well, salvation is not acquiescing to the facts about Jesus, admitting he exists. Salvation is trusting. Obviously, you have to believe Jesus exists, but my point is, salvation is trusting, placing all your faith and trust on him to be saved. And part of that process, and I just want to reiterate this, because sometimes people will misrepresent this doctrine and claim, oh, you're adding to the gospel. You're adding prayer to the gospel. No, I'm not. You see this all the time if you go out soul winning. And this is how you could tell that these people don't do any soul winning whatsoever. They do nothing for the Lord, but they criticize those of us who are going out and knocking doors and preaching the gospel.
Yeah,
you see, we're the ones that are going out and getting people saved. That's why we know those people who refuse to call on the name of the Lord oftentimes is because they didn't believe something. Either they can't get rid of the fact that it's by faith rather than by works, or they don't believe eternal security. There's something going on in their mind which is keeping them from calling on the name of the Lord. Because if they did truly believe it, if they saw the gift of eternal life, and they saw that it's a free gift, not of works, once you're saved, you're always saved, of course they're going to end up asking Jesus for salvation. That's just common sense.
And you know what? These same people are the people that are making twofold children of hell. Look, even if they do go out soul winning, they're going to go out and tell somebody, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody's going to go, okay, what does that mean? Do I trust him? Do I turn over a new leaf? No, don't pray. Don't pray to him. Just believe in him. How pathetic.
Right. Exactly. And there's people that take it the other way, though. There's the whole 1, 2, 3, repeat after me crowd that don't even explain the gospel. They give him John 3:16 and then say, all right, bow your head, let's pray. So obviously we're not on that side, but you don't want to just go all the way to the other end of the spectrum and start preaching against calling on the name of the Lord when, like I said at the top of the stream, that concept is in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
Hey, guys, I want to say something, right?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Like, this guy Ben right here, man, he's talking powerful stuff right here. That's the word of God right there. There is nothing wrong. If you are soul winning, and you're knocking on someone's door and you happen to lead them into a prayer, there's nothing wrong with a sinner praying to Jesus Christ saying, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me. Wash me. Save me. It's not about the prayer, but, you know, it's that person, you know, at that moment believing and receiving and asking the Lord, Lord, save me. I believe, I confess you're the Son of God. How is that a work? How is that person somehow working for salvation? You know what I'm saying? So like some people are, you know, are saved through saying a prayer or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, you know what? It's not about the prayer. God knows your heart. If you're sincere, if you truly believe the gospel, and there's nothing wrong with that. Praying to Jesus Christ, asking the Lord to save you is not a work. You're doing nothing in your power to save yourself.
Amen. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, Jesus, salvation, obviously the book of John, the Bible says these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. I mean, Jesus said all throughout the book of John, he said in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, notice the wording there. He says, he that cometh to me. So obviously you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, shall never hunger. So obviously you can't lose your salvation, but he says, look, you got to come to me. Well, if you're going to come, there has to be some sort of communication there. You can't just, I mean, what am I going to do? Sign language with Jesus? I believe in you. I mean, what kind of pathetic nonsense? But this is the same nonsense that's been creeping in and confusing people. And Brother Ben, you hit the nail on the head. These are the same people that don't believe in soul winning.
Yeah, they just sit on their hands all day and they're a bunch of keyboard warrior losers behind their computer screen that are, criticizing people that are actually going out and fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah. That's right.
Dad, did you have anything?
Well, I was going to go back and park on that 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. You know, we get blamed for that all the time. You know, especially after the movie came out. They'll say, well, there's no repentance. How many times have you heard that? You know, the problem is, you know, with that whole group, you know, saying there's no repentance. Repentance means to change your mind. So if you change your mind from whatever you're trusting in to trusting in Jesus and him alone, look at Acts 2:38 and look at Acts 2:41. See what the repentance actually was.
Amen.
A turn from sin type of thing. Now, how in the world are you going to turn from sin before the Holy Spirit comes in? That's like putting the cart in front of the horse. That's like taking the engine out of your car and putting it in front of the car and asking it to pull the car. Or putting it behind the car, in front of the transmission, or in back of the transmission, and asking it to go. It's just not going to happen. That frustrates me. But, you know, if they understand, that's the thing. They need understanding. You guys still there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, because my call dropped a couple of minutes ago. I had to redial. So, you know, as long as they understand. I mean, look at the parable of the sower. You know, I've heard people, you know, really mess that up in the past, trying to say that, you know, there was three unsaved groups and one good group, you know. But, I mean, if you read that, you'll find out, you know, some fell away. I mean, some, you know, they sprung up. I mean, they were born again. I mean, the seed is the word of God. Jesus, he interprets everything in his Bible. And so, you know, it's just like this group here. They're trying to tell you you're predestined. Some are predestined for heaven. Some are predestined for hell. You know, I don't even know a lot of the things they stand on. You know, I don't know if they believe they can lose your salvation. Is this the same group that is into the Lordship salvation too? You know, I know we were talking about that the other day. I'm not even sure if these people do that.
Well, but, in all honesty, there's so many groups. I mean, I'm seeing so many groups just pop up left and right and stuff that I've never even heard before. Just popping up all over the place. And frankly, this whole, you know, believe but don't receive thing, you know, how are you supposed to receive Christ if you can't communicate with him? You know, and obviously the Bible says God knows your heart, but the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. And I want to reiterate, this is sad, guys. This is really sad that we actually have to do a live stream talking about such a simple issue. You know, and it's really unfortunate because we could spend more time out. So, but I don't want the flock of God to be confused on this issue because Marvo and I, have run into many people that are saying, well, calling out by faith is a work. Well, are you kidding me? You know, the Bible says Romans 10, 9. I mean, just all throughout, they have to say that Romans 10, 9 is not a salvation passage. And that's exactly what I heard come out of some people's mouths. And these guys are vicious. They don't have the peace that passeth understanding. Marvo had to kick one of them off his panel. Marvo, because the guy wouldn't shut up. I mean, there's no peace with these guys.
They get angry. They probably go home at night, and, you know, their kids are watching YouTube, and they'll see some gospel preacher around there telling the truth about how to be saved. Kids come up and ask them, well, you know, they weren't predestined, or you were, you know. I mean, the kids are smarter than that. They start picking up on that stuff. They know it's not right. My kids, when they go soul winning to me, they know a false gospel when they hear it. You know, a Ray Comfort type of gospel where you're turning from all your sins to get saved. Well, you know, when Ray Comfort splits hell wide open, you know, I don't think it's going to be too comfortable for him, is it?
That's right.
Ray Comfort is a heretic in every way. And, you know, he needs to truly repent. That guy is wicked, man.
That's so great, though.
That was awesome. Hell, you know. I've told Matt for years, you know, there's no comfort in Ray Comfort.
That's right.
Way uncomfortable. That's what it is.
Never listen to him preach the gospel to these people out. There's poor people. You're going to hell. You need to live in holiness. Well, how are you supposed to do that without the Holy Spirit living inside of you? You know, the Holy Spirit, if you don't pray and ask the Lord to come in, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells with you. So he's there. And he's going to give you the words to say. He's going to clean up your life. You start, you know, going over here. He that saith he has no sin, he's lying, and the truth's not in him. So if this guy over here, he's, you know, if you say you have no sin, you're lying, the truth's not in you. So when the devil comes over and says, hey, you want to do this bad thing? But the Holy Spirit says, no, buddy, you want to do this good thing. So you know what Paul say? That which I don't want to do, I do. That which I do want to do, I don't. Oh, wretched man that I am, you know?
Amen. And that's why the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which is sealed unto the day of redemption.
Not the Holy Spirit.
That's you know, because every time I grieve the Holy Spirit, it doesn't turn out good for me because now I feel bad. I got to walk around in shame and awkwardness, and I feel out of fellowship, and I just don't really want to talk to people. I have my head down, and I know I was wrong because the Holy Spirit lets me know I was wrong. And sometimes we'll continue and get chastised into the point where the pressure builds so much. It's like, man, I better just not do this anymore. You know, this is not the way, and it's not working out for me. But as far as all these people nitpicking on Matt especially, or anyone that says anything against scripture, I believe it's just the devil getting in people's spirits to cause strife, confusion. And a lot of these people don't understand that scripture, because if they did, they realize, no, you don't have to verbally call out. You don't have to work your breath to call out. You could simply call out in your mind to the Lord. And the Lord knows your heart and what you believe. So he knows exactly how you call upon. And to say to call upon the Lord is a heresy. How many scriptures say to pray to God? The God is your intercessor. Jesus is the mediator. I mean, to even think that's a heresy, you are causing strife and confusion. Whoever this is, and I believe I know who this is.
Yeah.
And it's clearly going against scripture, and you should be ashamed of yourself for even going against the word of God. And God's going to deal with you. If you truly have believed, you're going to get chastened for this. And I don't know which way, and that's not a threat to you. That's just a promise of the Lord for messing with his word. So you better be real. When it comes with the word of God, you have to be careful in trying to teach or speak it, because I can see everyone here means well. Everyone came on one accord, and hey, none of us are perfect. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And the guy that even accused you can be forgiven, and he'll be all right. But he needs to quit causing confusion. And that's all I really want to say for the night. And I appreciate you letting me join, Matt. But like I said, I gotta do a roofing job in the morning, and that takes a lot of work. So I need my sleep, man.
No problem, brother. Thanks for stopping in. Godspeed.
God bless y'all.
Hey, Matt, I want to bring up Romans chapter 14, verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall, it didn't say some, and every tongue shall confess to God guess what, guys? Exactly what Matt Powell said on my live stream. Guess what? If you don't confess the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, guess what, man? You are going to confess him one day.
Yep. As their judge, they're going to confess him not as Savior. They're going to confess him as their judge.
Absolutely. Think about the scriptures, you know, because obviously calling upon the Lord is absolutely absolutely necessary. And the more we talk about this, the more I realize this is a big issue. And it's actually bigger than I thought, because, you know, a lot of people, there's even people in my chat that are like, wow, you know, and maybe we should have covered this sooner. Maybe I should have, but I will say this, this is a really important issue. And unfortunately, this is something I'd have to break fellowship with somebody on. If somebody believes that calling upon the Lord is a work, I can't fellowship with that person. That person may not even be saved, probably not saved, you know? And so this is a big issue. And, you know, I just want to say to some of the people in the chat, you know, a lot of people say, well, you just believe, but you don't call. How ridiculous is that? That's like saying, you know, I believe that my father is going to give me this, let's say, Dad, you offered me a truck or something. And I said, okay, you know, I receive it in my mind, but I don't actually say, hey, I'm going to receive that. Or like, I want to go pick up a welfare check. I would never be on welfare. I mean, that's gross. Any guy, just for the record, any guy that goes on welfare that's able-bodied, you know, God is disgusted with that. And I don't like the way that the 2018 America is going. It really makes me sick with this faggot stuff. And, you know, and don't get offended by that word either, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, faggot, how could you call somebody a faggot? You know, well, that's, I mean, I make no apology for it. You know, the Bible says that these people that commit these horrible acts are child molesters. And you know what I saw the other day, and it ticked me off so bad? I saw the LGBT sign with the little rainbow on it, and it just made me sick. You know why? Because the rainbow is actually a good sign. It's a sign of, you know, it's the sign of Noah and God. It's a covenant sign. And, you know, these sodomites and these perverts and queers have made it so, you know, you have to take these signs down, or, you know, you have to take the biblical meaning down and put all this other crap up. It makes me sick. And you know what really ticked me off today was I saw the LGBT sign. It said, you know, love is age blind. And it showed a little kid in the LGBT community. What is this world coming to? And they're like, oh, you know, 20 years ago, people are like, oh man, you know, these sodomites, they aren't child molesters. Look, if you're a man and you're willing to make out with another man, for the record, you'd make out with anything. That's what the Bible says. And don't get mad at me for quoting the scripture. This is what the Bible says. And, you know, people come to me, oh man, I wonder why my kids are getting molested. You know why your kids are getting molested? Because you're letting a bunch of queers in the house. I have nothing more to say. I know that was way off topic. I just had enough.
But you know what? Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's Jesus's prescription for that disgusting, perverted, filthy garbage you just described there, Brother Matt.
Hey, Matt, I want to say something, right? This person in the chat, in the live chat, keeps saying that, you know, believe, right? We're not against believing. I think he's not getting the point. We're not against believing. Believing is not your work. But what I'm trying to say is that there are many people who say they believe in Jesus Christ. They're saying they're Christians, and they confess not that Christ came in the flesh. A Jehovah's Witness will tell you, I believe in Jesus Christ, yet they can't confess that Christ is God.
Well, they believe in another God. They believe in another Jesus. They, you know, reject that he even rose from the grave physically, that his body rose from the grave. You know, it's the same thing with Islam. Islam doesn't believe Jesus is God. They believe in the oneness of God. They reject the Trinity, which is a common theme amongst false religions, by the way, not a coincidence. So
the thing is, like, you know, like if a person truly believes in Christ, listen, I want to say this. If you are watching this video right now, if you are teaching against, if you have a problem, if you are offended, if you are teaching against confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say right now, you are a deceiver and you are an antichrist, period. You are an antichrist. If you are teaching people that it's wrong to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and you're offended and you're saying we're adding to the gospel, well, guess what? You are an antichrist, period. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God.
You know what? That's awesome. And I think and I'm not trying to sound cocky or arrogant when I say this, guys, we just blew out the heretics. We blew them out of here. You know what? If any of them are still listening to this, I'm surprised they have enough gold to, because, you know, you think of all the scriptures that Brother Ben the Baptist brought up, you know, my father, I mean, even Marvo and even myself, we brought up all these scriptures, and these are irrefutable scriptures, you know, and if you have a problem with common sense where somebody would somehow believe in Jesus and yet not call out to him for salvation, you have a problem.
And, hey, so they think that Romans chapter 10 is not salvation. Isn't that what you told me before we went on the air?
Right, right. So you have these people out there who are deceivers. These people are antichrist. You know why? Because the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is all about the person of Christ, who he is, and what he has done for us on the cross. Him being the Son of God, going to the cross, shedding his blood, dying, rising from the dead on the third day, period. And if we go to Romans chapter 10, it clearly says right there, this is talking about his death, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, that shows that you believe that he was crucified, that he shed his blood. A Muslim person will say that, you know what? We believe in Jesus Christ, but you know what? Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross. I had a conversation with a Muslim two nights ago. You know what he told me? He said, listen, he said, Marvo, it's a lie. Christ didn't die on the cross. So the fact that you are confessing that God raised him from the dead, you are acknowledging the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. This Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is talking about the Christ being risen from the dead, right? And it says, thou shalt be saved, right? If this is not a salvation issue, right? What are you being saved from? What? A hurricane? A tornado? What are you being saved from? Thou shalt be saved.
Amen. And I just want to say to all, because I know there's a lot of younger guys that are my age that have fallen into this garbage, and they're not, and just the fact, Marvo, you know, you were probably the oldest one on that panel that where these guys were coming in and saying this, preaching this false doctrine. And it blew my mind, the lack of respect. I mean, if I went off in a false doctrine, I would hope that the older men of God would give me a call and say, hey, you need to get this right, you know? And you know what? It would be perfectly loving to throw somebody out of the church that doesn't believe, that is teaching false doctrine. You know, just because 2018 America says it's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. 2018 America says, oh, let's just open our doors and love everybody. Look, the Bible says there are certain people that you should hate. I hate to break it to you folks, but there are certain people that, according to the Bible, and this is from the Bible, this isn't just my opinion. This is the Bible says, do not I hate them, O Lord, which hate thee. You know, and people are like, oh, wait a minute. God loves everybody. You know, God loved everybody at one point, sure, but it's not a loving thing to send somebody to hell. You know, God butchered his son on the cross for people. I mean, what an insult. What an insult and a spit in the face of God to reject the atoning sacrifice of Christ. That's awful. You know, and, you know, I see we got about 30 people listening to this, about 24 actually. If you guys have any questions in the chat for Brother Ben, myself, or my dad, or Brother Marvo, please feel free to ask us. We want to make sure that we get this nailed on the head. and that this doctrine does not come up again. I don't want to have another live stream like this, because this, to me, is just so pathetic. But it's true. We need to have it. And obviously,
you know something? Yeah. I find this ridiculous. I find this is, we're in the last days. Like, this is so ridiculous that we have to do a live stream to explain that confessing and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved is not a work. This is just nonsense. We're not going out. We are not going out there and telling people that, oh, you know what? You have to work your way to heaven. We're not doing that, right? People want to, you know what? All scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can't just pick and choose what you want to believe. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And that is talking about being saved from hell and the lake of fire. This is not talking about being saved from Hurricane Katrina. This is talking about being saved from hell and the lake of fire.
Amen. And that brings us to our next, or probably our last topic in this discussion. Brother Ben, when somebody comes to you and says, Romans and, you know, these parts of the New Testament that say that if thou shalt confess, or to him that worketh not, are not talking about salvation, what is your response?
Well, I really liked what the, is his name Marvo? What's your name, buddy?
Yeah, Marvo, yeah.
I liked what you said, and that makes a lot of sense, because it talks about the death, burial, and resurrection right there, confessing that God raised him from the dead. I would also point out that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is not the only time that that phrase is used in Scripture. And every time you see that in Genesis chapter 4, Psalm 55, even Acts chapter 2, I believe it's in verse 21, that exact same phrase is used. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me go to it real quickly here. It says it in Acts chapter number 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I would just say, listen, you know, obviously this is a salvation passage. And if you don't believe it, then you're just denying clear scripture. At that point, I would question whether or not that person has the Holy Spirit inside them, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Right. And I just want to say to somebody right now, and unfortunately, I have to call him out, because his channel, and there's a lot of people listening to this guy, Timothy. I'm calling him out. You know, Marvo and I have had run-ins with him. And I know Marvo called him out yesterday, but Timothy, I confronted you, and I know you're in this chat. Look, I confronted you, and after you called me a heretic and wouldn't let me speak, look, the Bible says that you are not saved. If that's all you've ever believed and you've never called out to the Lord, you're not saved. That's what the Bible says. And quit putting out stupid videos against Steve Anderson. Well, actually, you know what? It's fine if you do, because you're just giving him free publicity. But just the fact that you'd attack a man that I respect, and somebody that's really, really made an impact on my life, like Steve Anderson, really ticks me off, because that man is a brother in Christ. And his analogies, I don't know how you can get around them unless you're just flat out biased. You know, it's almost the same bias. I used to debate, I don't really debate these atheists anymore, because you don't get anywhere with them. You know, they're just a bunch of more, they deny the first and second law of physics. They deny the laws of thermodynamics. They claim, oh, you know, we believe in science. We believe in law. They don't believe in any of that. You know, and when you talk about the fossilized seashells that we found up on top of Mount Everest, they're like, oh, well, maybe they were pushed up through millions of years. How do we answer this? Well, that's ridiculous. That's not absurd. But anyways, not to get off topic, but you know what? I'm just going to say this right now. Look, there's a battle on, guys, and don't let your theology get in the way of don't read the Bible with a set of glasses on that's all tainted with theology that says, well, confession is a work. Confession is not a work. It's a part of the gospel. It is a part of the gospel. And I want to make that very clear where I stand on this, and why I stand where I stand, why these men. Look, I'm not the only one that says this. And look, we're just reading the passage. Guys, all we're doing is reading the passage and just saying, okay, it means what it says. But people have a problem with it these days. People cannot get over the fact that confession is not a work. So, Dad, I guess, you know what, we'll just start closing out, guys, sure, with some closing thoughts here. So, I guess, Marvel, we'll let you go first.
Yeah, so Acts chapter 8, verse 37 says, And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see people in the Bible. Guys, open your eyes. Why? Please don't fight the word of God. Don't fight scripture. Don't listen to wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't listen to antichrist people. We have people in the Bible confessing the Son of God. If you believe in the Son of God, right, you should have no problem confessing the Son of God. And, you know, and Acts 8:37, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And, you know, it says right there, Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Luke 12:8, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. You know, and finally, I want to say that, you know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And watch this. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, guys, we're confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Not because God's putting a gun to our head, because we believe that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Lord. But guess what? You guys out there who are antichrist and you're saying we're preaching false doctrine and, you know, this is a work, well, guess what? One day you are going to bow down and you are going to have to. All the unbelievers, they're going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Brother Ben.
Well, I mean, all I have to say is that, you know, I never once have ever believed or taught that believing is not enough or anything like that. What I believe, and I'm sure you guys all would agree with this, is that if somebody does truly believe the gospel, then as a result of that, they will call on the name of the Lord. If I knew that there was this amazing gift out there and all I had to do was ask for it, of course, I would do so. And I'm just going to end with the scripture that I brought up in the beginning, straight out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. When we go soul winning and people refuse to call on the name of the Lord, it's because they knew the gift, they rejected the gift, they didn't want anything to do with the gift, and so as a result, they vehemently deny you when you try and pray with them. It's because they didn't believe.
Amen. All right, and Dan.
Sure. You know, this calling on the name of the Lord, as has been said by your friends, there are two. It's a consistent teaching. Starts in Genesis 4, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, and it's consistent all the way up through Revelation. And one day, you don't call on him now. Trust him as your Savior now. One day, you're going to, you know, stand there and say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done many wonderful works? He's going to, you know, confess to you he never knew you. Everybody's going to bow one day, and they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. You're either going to do it now as your Savior, or you're going to do it later as your judge. So don't let people trick you into thinking not to call on the name of the Lord. That's just utterly ridiculous.
And if you haven't called on the name of the Lord, amen. And if you haven't called on the name of the Lord, I would encourage you to do that right now. Obviously, I'm gonna add some videos in here in the link. Excuse me, in the description. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'm going to put a video by Steven Anderson, and I'm also going to put another video by Pastor Donnie Romero in the description of this video. And if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, you can watch those. They're very simple. They're very easy to understand. Folks, this new doctrine, it's a new doctrine that, you know, you believe, but you don't call out to the Lord. It's a new doctrine, and it's very cryptic. And folks, I'd really encourage you not to be deceived. And I want to go back to the homosexual thing that I said earlier. when I said that they're, hey, Brother Corbin.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing great.
We're actually closing out, but
I know.
I wanted to ask you really quickly why it's important to call upon the name of the Lord after you believe.
Yeah, why it's important to call upon the name of the Lord after you believe. I'm sure somebody has already quoted this, but the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, you know, it's not some special prayer that you have to pray. You don't have to do any form of a sinner's prayer, but the effect after you believe is you call out to God. So you believe, and it could be as simple as, you know, Lord, I believe, or Lord, save me, or Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. All of those are calling upon the name of the Lord. I don't think anybody just gets saved and doesn't acknowledge God in the process, because getting saved is acknowledging God, is acknowledging the gospel.
Amen. And isn't it amazing, folks? I have these guys come on and they read their Bibles. We all read the King James Bible, and they all come to the same conclusion. Yeah, we're all independent. But you know what how these cults get started? They start with one guy at a time. One little guy believes one thing over here, and then a little group of people believe it over here. But you know what? We're all independent. You know, one guy up top says, hey, this is what you all need to believe, and all the people believe it. But we're independent guys popping up everywhere saying, hey, this is what the Bible says. And Corbin, in closing, what would you tell somebody that says that believing is a work?
Believing is a work. Well, you know, the Bible compares salvation to a gift. And last time I checked, you don't have to work for a gift. The definition of a gift is that it's free. So if you have to believe in order to receive the free gift of eternal life, and believing is a work, then that would make God a liar, because God said that salvation is a gift, and the Bible and also says it's not of works. So if you think that salvation, or you, if you think that you have that believing is a work, then you think that salvation is of works, and then you're contradicting what the Bible says, and then you would have to say that some scriptures are wrong. Obviously, the best example of that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is not of works. It's all by believing. It's a free gift. And so to say something that, if you think that salvation is a gift and it's a work, that's it makes no sense. There's no logic in that.
Amen. Amen. All right. So I think we're going to go ahead and close out. I want to just make one statement, just to clarify something that I said earlier, even more. So when I mentioned I don't want to say gay people, gay means happy, you know, and I got a kick out of Pastor Logan Robertson's video called How to Have a Gay Marriage. I think that's great. I think y'all should have a gay marriage, because gay means happy, you know, and I'm a very happy person. The Bible says that, you know, some people come with gay clothing, you know, and so with that being said, I just want to say that, you know, it's very, very clear that the homosexuals in the Bible, I'm not talking about homosexuals that you see today, although I believe it's identical. These homosexuals that you see in the Bible are some of the worst predators, you know, and just on a common sense level, folks, you know, stay away from them. Just stay away. Don't get involved. Because here's you say, oh, they can be saved. Well, if you feel that way, go ahead and witness to them. But the Bible says in Romans 1 that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are filthy and disgusting. So when somebody comes to me and says, oh, you know, there's hope for everybody, you know, and I agree, yeah, there's hope for people. But at the same time, if God gives up on somebody, I'm not going to say, oh, well, I'm not going to give up on them. You know, if God says I gave up, I'm going to submit to the voice of the shepherd. But when it comes to this issue, I want to make it very clear that, in case you missed it, folks, gay pride and all these people out there just put up this sign called Love is Age Blind. They are openly now. They're now openly condoning pedophilia. And even Richard Dawkins says, oh, pedophilia is fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but mock Christians openly. So if we don't stand up to them, it's just going to get worse and worse, and they're going to keep molesting children. And it shouldn't be hard to figure out that if a man is willing to make out with another man, folks, he'd make out with anything. And that is science. That's not only scientific, that's just common sense. So, Brother Ben.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to say, first of all, I completely agree with everything you're saying. One last scripture I want to give out on the original topic of our live stream, which I can't believe I forgot, but Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the sequence of events is believe, call, right? And that's what we've talked about throughout the course of this live stream. Well, there's your scripture for it. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You can call on the name of the Lord a million times if you like, but if you haven't believed in your heart, then that's an empty prayer to nobody.
Yo, listen, hey, Ben, are you there?
Yeah.
We got people in this, you know, we got people who are liars. You know why? They take what we say and they twist our words. Right, because you know what they're saying? They're saying that confession doesn't save. We're not saying that. We are not people. Are you that blind? Are you that dumb? We're not saying that a prayer saves you. We're not saying that confession saves you. We're saying the person of Jesus Christ saves you. As Ben just said, you call upon the Lord because you believe in him. As Ben just said, you can call upon the Lord a million times. If you don't believe in your heart who he is, guess what? You're not going to be saved. So it's not a prayer that saves you. It's not confession that saves you. It's right. The person of Jesus. Get it in your head. Stop twisting our words and spreading lies on the internet. We're saying that we believe that salvation is by the grace of God. English language. Salvation is by a grace. We are saved by the grace of God. Because we believe in Jesus, we call upon him. The thief on the cross, because he believed, he repented in his heart. He said, Lord, remember me. So don't twist our words. Don't say that, you know, we're preaching false doctrine here.
Yeah, I'm Amen. Sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of people straw-manning us. It's a straw man. Oh, you're one of these 1, 2, 3, repeat that. Well, you know what? I partially am. I believe that when you call out by faith that God had made a promise that he would save you. But you know what? Don't straw man us and say, oh, you're saying that the prayer is what saves you. No, Jesus is who saves us. And it's all by believing. And the prayer is simply a result of our faith in Christ. It's that easy. And according to your own standard, you know, whoever you are that believes that just believe but don't confess, which are two parts of the same coin. If you say believe but don't confess, which is the other half of that verse, it doesn't, obviously, according to your worldview, then people would be saved. Because we always ask people, Brother Ben, when we were at the soul winning conference this year, you know, we would always ask people, you know, I didn't go soul winning with you per se, but I know you ask people this. Hey, do you believe this?
Oh, I know. I do that. Not only that, but I even ask at the end of my presentation, okay, so have you changed your mind based on what I showed you? True repentance, metanoia, change your mind.
Oh, you don't mean turning from sin? You need to get out of here. You're a heretic. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. So, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's what we do. And it's all about faith. It's faith. It's believing that saves. But according to Romans 10:14, how, you know, are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? So right. They have to believe first.
So even from, exactly. And so even from these people's perspective, Brother Ben, what I'm saying is they should be able to say, okay, then they're saved. Because even from their perspective, if I ask somebody, hey, do you believe the gospel? And they say yes. Well, at that point, according to them, they should be saved. I just go a step further to be safe. The Bible says it's safe. And so why are they attacking us?
Well, they're attacking you because they're a bunch of loser keyboard warriors who have nothing better to do. And the thing is, Brother Matt, you've been under attack the last several months. Even Richard, reprobate, piece of filth, God-hating Dawkins tweeted about you on his social media and used your name on Twitter and attacked you by name because, you know, he hates you, and that's a good thing. That should be a badge of honor for you, the fact that you have all these people attacking you, which shows you're doing actual work for the Lord. So keep it up. So the reason why they attack you, Brother Matt, is because they're losers. They have nothing better to do. They're sitting in their mom's basement behind a computer screen trying to figure out how they can muddy the waters when it comes to salvation.
Amen, Brother Ben. And I got to say the same about you guys in Jacksonville. Folks, if you guys haven't caught up with what's been going on down there, Adam Fannin's been under attack. I know Brother Ben's been under some heavy attack, and we need to support the men of God here. We need to really take time and pray for them, and we need to stand behind the scriptures. We need to stand behind men that have gone on before and encourage these men, and we need to, bottom line, this is a call to go soul winning. I don't care if you have a computer ministry. I think computer ministries, obviously Brother Ben's probably got the greatest computer ministry going on here, but you know what? That should never replace soul winning. Never. You know, Amen. And if this ever took away from my soul winning, I would give this up in a heartbeat. I will, you know, and we should not stop giving the gospel to people. But I think we're going to go ahead and close out with that, guys. If you guys want to stick around afterwards, we'll chat a little bit before we all take off. But folks, you all have a wonderful night. And do any of you have anything to say to the audience before we close out? Going once, going twice.
God bless you all.
God bless, guys.